Welcome to Burnside at Home for Sunday, the 3rd of July. Today, we come to the end of our series in Philippians, and then I'm going on holiday for a couple of weeks, so there won't be any pre-record of the service for the next couple of weeks because Joe Fell and Robert Bell will be preaching in Burnside on Sunday the 10th and Sunday the 17th of July. You will still be able to watch the service live on the live stream and then also catch up on demand afterwards. It's just there won't be this pre-record service as there has been. And there also won't be a service available on the telephone line either. So we come to the end of Philippians. We're in chapter 4, verses 10 to 23 today, and we are thinking about finding joy right here as we live for Jesus Christ. In Philippians 4, verses 19 and 20, we read, "My God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever." So today we come to worship a God who meets all of our needs and gives us everything that we require for our lives. So let's bow together in prayer. Generous God and giver of all things, we rest in your loving and tender care, and we are revived, restored, and renewed by your strength and encouragement. You go before us in life, leading us in pathways that are secure, without the confusion of becoming lost, aware only that we always need to follow you, and so we trust in your guidance and wisdom. As human beings, we know there will be times of stress when our bodies, our minds let us down. We know that there will be dark times too, when life seems to be nothing but struggle. But it is in those times especially that we rely on your presence deep within us to guide and bless us. Grace-giving God, you provide us with the tools we need for the tasks we face, and for this we give you our trust and our thanks. Life-giving God, you put out the welcome mat for us as we gather to worship you. You nourish our souls and bodies through your goodness and tender mercies. You heal our life's wounds, and your generous love fills us to overflowing. You give us an honoured place at your table and invite us to stay with you as your guest forever. You have promised that your unfailing love will stay with us always, and for this we give you thanks. Amen. We're going to read together now Philippians 4 and verses 10 to 23 as we reach the end of this letter of Paul to the church in Philippi. "I rejoiced greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid more than once when I was in need. Not that I desire your gifts, what I desire is that more be credited to your account. I have received full payment and have more than enough. I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be the glory forever and ever. Amen." Greet all God's people in Christ Jesus, the brothers and sisters who are with me, send greetings. All God's people here, send you greetings, especially those who belong to Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. So what is it that causes us to rejoice and be filled with joy? There are many things that we could mention today, many of which will involve certain things happening to us. But here we see that we find in Philippians joy through contentment. And Paul yet again sets the example here and shows us through his own life how we can have joy. The joy that Paul has can be traced to contentment. Contentment can be a great blessing in our lives. Paul starts off this last section by telling the Philippians that they have been the cause of his rejoicing. He says to them, "I rejoice greatly in the Lord." And the reason for the rejoicing was the fact that the Philippians had shown their concern for him. They knew that he was in need, and when they had an opportunity, they sent gifts to him. And this caused Paul to rejoice because he truly needed what they sent, and it brought him comfort. But he also rejoiced because he could see these young Christians accepting their responsibilities in the Lord. He could see them working out their Christian witness and realizing that if they had received the free grace of Christ, then the implication was that they were part of the kingdom of God and they had responsibilities. And we'll come on to that in a moment or two. But the true joy that Paul had and the reason for his rejoicing was not that he received gifts, but because he was content. He says in verse 11, "I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances." Paul had a great attitude to life and his circumstances, and because of this attitude, he was joyful. Verse 12 from the New Living Translation, "I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I've learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little." And if we can learn that same sense of contentment, then that same joy can be ours. Eugene Peterson paraphrases this as a recipe, as it were, that Paul has for life. "I'm just as happy with little as much, with much as with little. I find the recipe for being happy, whether full or hungry, hands full or hands empty." And if we can use that same recipe, then it will make an incredible difference to us. Paul was not speaking here from a well-off position. It was not that he always had plenty and therefore could say this without any challenge. Paul was writing from prison, and all he once had was taken away from him. He was left with nothing, yet at the same time he was content and joyful. He had all that he needed. Instead of focusing on what he didn't have, Paul was able to look at the one who has everything. And while he kept his attention on Jesus, his thoughts were not on what was lacking. In other words, if we have Jesus, what more do we need? If we have Jesus, what more could we possibly want? Paul says in verse 13, "I can do everything through him who gives me strength." In Christ, Paul has strength for all things. We have the strength to do God's will. We have the power to be his witnesses. We are able to follow God. Paul is content with what he has in Jesus. Jesus tells all of us, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So much of what happens around us each day is designed to make us discontent, Advertising's targeted to make us want something that we do not have. We are presented with a life that looks better than the one we have. We therefore need whatever is being offered so that we will be happy. But Paul tells us he is content with what he already has. And this is why he is able to be happy. This is why he is able to rejoice. But then we also see in this passage that there is joy not just through contentment, but joy through giving. Paul was content before the Philippians sent their gifts, but he is not belittling what they did. In fact, in verse 14, he points out a great benefit in what they did. Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. And not only was it good of the Philippians, it was also good for the Philippians. The fact that they gave was a tremendous benefit to them. When we give in the name of the Lord, it is not only a benefit for those to whom we give, it is also a benefit to us. Now, this seems like a real selfish reason to give, and I suppose it should not be the primary reason why we give to others, but it's a wonderful side effect. Paul says, not that I'm looking for a gift, but I am looking for what may be credited to your account. When we give to the needs of others, then there is a transaction that takes place, a transaction that results in a credit to our account, if as it were. Now, down through the years, this verse has been misused by those who, unlike Paul, are not content and are looking for gifts. They preach a type of prosperity gospel, stating that if you give to God, he will bless you and give you back far more than you ever had in the first place. And if you look ahead to verse 19, you can see how this might be able to try and argue the point. But this is not what Paul has in mind here. As we give to God, yes, there will be benefits to us, but it will probably not make us rich. Now, of course, God may choose to bless us with wealth, but that is not what is promised here. And also, we need to be careful if we are giving simply so that we can receive. Then there are a couple of problems. First, it is harder to be content. The more that we have, Paul found contentment in having nothing. But when we have more, it is harder to give away. The more people have, the more they tend to want. So Paul has joy when he sees the Philippians giving. And the Philippians have joy as they give to God. They know that they are doing what God wants, and therefore they can rejoice. They know that they have helped someone who was in need, and therefore they are joyful. They have heard the reports from Paul, and they know that their contribution made a difference. So here we have this idea of giving and being content in that giving. Whenever we give, Paul makes us the promise in verse 19, and my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Paul had all that he needed in Christ, even though he was in prison. He had been given contentment. He had the grace of God to face death, if that is what was to lie ahead. He had joy in the midst of his suffering. We might expect freedom from prison. We might be wanting extended life rather than death. We might want more possessions rather than the joy of seeing others benefit. But this is where true joy comes from, and this is the joy that Paul wants us to know. The psalmist understood how much Jesus was worth compared to everything else in life. He began that well-known 23rd Psalm by saying, "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing." Imagine the joy of lacking nothing, of never being in want. There is nothing in this world that can provide us with that feeling. But Paul has worked it out. He knows the joy that God alone can bring, a joy through contentment and a joy through giving. So let's bow before him in prayer together. Lord God Almighty, we thank you for the joy that can be found in your word. We thank you, Lord, for the joy that comes through being content in all that you have given to us. And we thank you, Lord, for the joy that comes to us through giving to you and giving to your work. So, Lord, today we pray for that contentment. We pray for that blessing. And we ask, Lord, that you would be with us day by day. In Jesus' name, amen. So thank you for listening to this pre-recorded service. Do remember, there will be no pre-record for the next 2 weeks, but you can still listen live. You can come and join us in person. And there will also be no blog or Beside the Burn for the next couple of months. And then we'll start back in September. So I hope you all have a good holiday, and I'll see you again soon. Thank you.